Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
This is the Marty Sheargold Show on Melbourne's 105.1.
Ah, here he is.
there he is. Fitzy, our boss
has joined us. Fitzy and I go back a long way, as do Troy and Fitzy.
Yeah.
Fitzy and I worked together in 2002.
On the cage. You're a regular guest on the cage.
Fitzy's now what we call in the business a group program director. Is that what it's still referred to as?
Head of network, I'll go with
Head
that.
Head of network, yes. is
That's
that
even bigger.
Even as I said, even as I said program director, I'm like, I'm pretty sure everyone's gone content director.
Yeah, no, we create content now, mate. It's not just about programming. It's
no.
About content we create.
So from all those years ago to all those years now, we've come back to work together and are very much enjoying each other's company and our professional and private relationship. It's lovely to work with you again.
And you. And our beards, I think, are both
matching.
Yes.
different colours, though.
We spoke yesterday briefly after Michael's passing and it started to be a bit of a whisper around the office. And I think Will, actually, someone in your group of WhatsApp friends just wrote Michael Gudinski with a question mark.
It happened all very suddenly. There wasn't much reporting on it early on.
No.
And then
everyone was
we
very
sort of
respectful of the family being able to announce that on their own time.
Exactly. And then we sort of wandered out and were like, does anyone know what's going on here? And then, of course, here we are now sort of almost 24 hours later.
And the world feels a little bit emptier this morning, especially for those of us in the music and radio industry.
Mm.
I mean, he was such a big character, and you've read it and heard it a lot in the last 24 hours. He filled a room, he filled a space, and he didn't deliberately do that. That was just his personality. And
when did you first meet him? How old do you reckon you were when you first had your first Michael Gudinski encounter?
Well, like everyone, I'd grown up, you know, when you grow up loving music in Australia, you hear of him and you hear of the tales of Mushroom Music, and Michael Gudinski was infamous, especially through the Countdown years. But I reckon I met Michael for the first time in 1996 when I went to MTV. I went from country radio to MTV.
Yeah.
And then again when I was at Triple M in 1997. But I became friends with Michael probably when I became program director of Triple M Melbourne in 2009.
Right.
Was when we became close.
And then was he sort of ringing you going, hey, add these guys, have you heard this song? Was he really passionate and pursuing the artists and the work?
Yeah, but another good friend of mine who worked at the label, he and I are like brothers, and Michael was a bit like He was a mentor for us.
Yes.
You know? And so while he would ring and ask those questions, he'd also ring, you know, he'd go, right, we're going to lunch. I'll be out the front in 5 minutes. And you'd drop everything and go to lunch because you knew he wasn't going to pitch you anything. You just wanted to spend time with the man.
Yeah.
He filled you up. You felt great. You'd get a laugh. You'd be able to make him laugh. And he would always say, Oyster, I was pissed off when we started this phone call, but you've made me laugh.
Good.
So, you know, he was just a wonderful person to be around. And he was always forthcoming with advice if you wanted it.
Yes.
He didn't force it upon you.
Yeah.
I remember him ringing me once, and I'll clean this up, but he basically said, stop being such a prick.
Yeah, right. And that's the cleaned up version.
Yeah, correct.
And what was he referring to? Can you remember? Or was it just a general note in life?
Like you know, maybe not everyone, but I was full of bravado and what we'll call piss and wind.
I still say that when I leave the toilet without pooing.
Back in the early 2000s.
Because that's what Dad used to say. Oh, it was all piss and wind. Now I say it to my kids. It's one of the great sayings.
And he was always reminding me that you'll catch more flies with honey.
Yeah, and that is true. As you get older, you realise that. It's not a great saying for a young man, that one. But as you age, you realise how true that one is.
As soon as you start telling young blokes, mate, if you be nicer to people, then maybe you'll realise how many good people are around you and how many people want to help you.
That's
you,
so true.
You realise that you're probably a bit older.
Yeah, I know. You've matured. And he was a massive Melbourne man, wasn't he?
He loved Melbourne like you wouldn't believe. So he you know, we would talk endlessly about the Australian Open, and he'd start talking about it 12 months before, right? Mm. Here's what we're going to do outside the Open this year.
Yeah.
Birrarung Ma, all the bands. You've got to be a part of it. He was adamant that the grand final every year was the biggest event, that the entertainment was the biggest event. You know, can't upstage the game, but it's got to be worthy of the grand final. Like, you'd suggest artists to him, and he'd go, no, not big enough.
I wonder if he was a fan of the Twilight Grand Final idea as it starts to shift towards that sort of halftime Super Bowl
style. Yeah, you know, I never asked him. I never really asked him. But
did
always
you know of his relationship with Dan Andrews?
Yes.
Well, James Young we had on the show recently and talked us through that they were both insomniacs.
Yes.
And they would ring each other in the middle of the night and just chat music.
Yep. Dan's a huge lover of Australian music. Thus, the opportunity for Victoria to get involved in Sounds Better Together post-pandemic, post-lockdown. So that was really about supporting Victorian music and supporting Victorian artists and getting live music back together, back on stages. He and Dan would talk endlessly. Dan would go to the house and have dinner. They had a really, really close relationship.
Mm.
And, you know, so the grand final entertainment was a really important one for him, whether it was Meatloaf.
Yeah.
We'll never do that again.
No.
Or Sting.
Yeah.
Or Bryan Adams. You know, yeah, I remember being at lunch with him on the day before the grand finals. This is the grand final Eve Friday. It was the first one that we had. And we were at Coco at Crown.
Yeah.
In his little private room. And he got a phone call. He went, oh, there's a problem. Oh, what's wrong, Michael? He's, oh, Sting isn't allowed on the plane.
Oh.
Like, well, isn't he? He's like playing at the grand final in 24 hours and he's still in LA. And we said, what's the problem? Because they won't let him take his guitar on. Oh. He wouldn't put his guitar in the cargo hold. He books a seat for his bass.
Does he?
And it sits next to him on the plane and gets strapped in.
Oh, my
God. And it's the captain's call.
Whether that can happen.
That's allowed to happen. And this particular captain wouldn't allow it to happen. So they're standing at the gate. The door's about to close. Sting's going, I'm not getting on the plane unless my guitar comes with me. And Michael's like, let me just sort this out. And he gets on the phone to the chairman of Qantas while we're at lunch and can you sort this out? And then he's ringing Eddie, and then he's ringing all these other people to make sure this happens because Sting's got to be there in 24 hours.
If
he doesn't get on this plane, he's not playing the grand final. But he didn't leave his seat.
No.
You know, didn't raise a sweat.
No, he was just resolving the issue.
Yeah, he's just a problem solver. And he loved it. He loved a name drop. I remember I was at a meeting at Twitter in San Francisco, and he was in Vegas, and he said, I'll be in the States at the same time as you. Let's catch up. And I'm in this meeting, and the phone rings, and it says Gudinski, and I'm like, oh, I've got to take this because if you don't take it, you're not going to get him on the phone again. So I said, I'm really sorry to do this. 2 minutes, I've just got to take this urgent call.
Yeah.
And I've left, you know, a room full of 12 Twitter executives to take this call, and I've gone, hello, and he's gone, oh, where are you? So I'm at a meeting at Twitter in San Francisco. Right, well, I can't talk right now. I'm with Don Henley. You called me! And then hung up. I was like, you called me!
Just to tell you he was with Don Henley.
Yeah, just a call. Just to say. Yeah.
You won't believe who I'm with.
Great.
It's only Don Henley.
He also used to tell a story about how Don Henley hadn't had meat for 25 years, and when they were in Melbourne, he took him to Vlados.
Oh, of course.
Without realising. Yeah. And that was when he turned Henley back onto meat for the first time.
What else are you going to have? The sauerkraut?
Yeah, just an iceberg lettuce, a cut up tomato and a whole heap of chops. That'll get you back onto the meat.
Do you fear for the industry now, Fitz, being as close to it as you are?
No, Matt is, I'm speaking on behalf of Matt, obviously, but he's as passionate as his old man was about music. And Matt has an incredible ear for talent as well. You know, Bliss and Esso, one of his signings. You know, there's only ever one Michael, but a challenge for Matt to step into those footsteps. But he's been running his own label and working with Michael at Mushroom for years. Right,
but it is the music, isn't it, that's the issue. It's not the touring. The touring, you'll always have the Michael Chugs and the Paul Dainties, and the touring will always be okay.
Yes.
But it's who's fostering this young talent, this young Australian talent to come through, because it all feels to me as an outsider split through a lot of independent labels now, which...
Yeah, I'm not really sure how the label thing works. I've never really understood how labels work. You know, I just see it all as it all comes under one. You know, I imagine it's like Kraft own Vegemite that does, you know, that Vegemite taste. No, and peanut butter that
eventually
solves the problem
they're all
for
owned
peanut
by
butter
Warner.
People. Yeah, correct. It all goes back and they're owned by some parent company.
Yeah,
but Michael was such a champion of artists, even back in the early 70s when he was signing bands. You know, you look at Skyhooks, and they were a rock band, but they were pretty weird.
They were fruity.
But then when he saw Split Enz were all sort of weird art school kids with half-shaved heads and doing Dada-esque avant-garde video clips that didn't make any sense. And they were really quite weird and quirky and
giant hair.
I remember,
it was like watching five Dave Hugheses. Just mucking around, Dave, if you're listening.
Tim Finn talks about being brought to Sydney to do a gig supporting Skyhooks, who were supporting AC/DC.
Yeah.
And Tim Finn said, we just got abused. He called them Sharpies. There were all these Sharpies there. And apparently Magda Zabanski was one of them.
Yeah,
she,
right.
She's told
she's
Tim
an
since
old Sharpie.
That she was an old Sharpie, and she was there booing Split Enz because these were these art school kids, and they're all there waiting for AC/DC, you know. But and all the people around Michael were going, are you sure you want to sign this band? Like, everyone's booing them.
Yeah.
But he believed in the artistry of it. Mm. When he signed Hunters and Collectors, they were a 13-piece avant-garde orchestra that were playing gigs at Northcote Social Club.
Yeah, that's a big commitment.
And they were weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And they turned into one of Australia's great rock bands. So he's always believed in the artist. Indigenous artists, he was a huge supporter of. He signed Archie Roach in 1990 to huge success, and that relationship continued. Even as recently as 2 weeks ago, he was ringing me about Dan Sultan.
Yeah.
Where he's at and where his music making is at, and what else can we do with Dan, and let's make sure that when we're playing the Midnight Oil song that he's recorded with Dan, that we're crediting Dan for it as well. Like, he was very, very supportive of
Yothu Yindi, I think he signed.
Indeed. And as recently as a few weeks ago, he's just embarked on another tour with the Oils.
Yeah.
But touring was also a major part of his life, and he said to me, there's three artists he wanted to tour.
Yeah.
And they were the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and Bruce Springsteen.
Well, did he tick two of those boxes?
Well, he almost ticked three, because he did Springsteen twice within 18 months, including those incredible Hanging Rock shows.
Yeah.
He did the Stones, who never got to play Hanging Rock because of a...
cancelled on the day.
Yeah, because of the sinking problem at Hanging Rock, the swamp. And
it's probably where the girls are.
And the third part of that was he finally...
Thank you, Troy.
He got to tour Paul McCartney.
Oh, of course he did. Well, I've got a tweet here from Paul McCartney, which you may not be aware of.
So DM, sad just slipped into your DMs.
So sad to hear that Michael Gudinski has died. Michael was such a lovely guy, looked after us all so well when we toured Australia. Everyone in the band and crew loved and respected him, and he will be remembered with great fondness always. We send love and sympathies to his family. He was a one-off and one of Australia's great music men. Love you, Mike. Paul McCartney.
Yeah, from one bloke you can't understand to another bloke you couldn't understand.
Well, I mean, it's such high praise, and we've seen a few of those come across the desk in the last 24 hours, including Bruce himself, the boss, saying he was the greatest promoter he's ever known.
Ed Sheeran, he was really, really close to Ed, really close to Ed, as evidenced by the tweet with yesterday of Ed posted just a picture of him and Michael on a beach at sunset, and I'll miss you, mate.
Lauren told me that, and apparently Ed doesn't tweet a lot, is that right?
It was Insta. He took a big Instagram break.
And he never does that.
Right. Get your socials right, mate.
So he can't.
Was it TikTok? Was it a TikTok?
It was TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
Was it a Reels video? Did he shuffle it all?
I think it was on Snapchat.
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
He's got his own MySpace page now, Ed Sheeran.
Final thoughts, Fitz, anything you'd like to say?
He'll be missed. The world feels a little emptier without Michael in it this morning. For everyone that came into contact with him. And there were so many, you know, I feel weird talking about it because there were so many people that were close to Michael.
Yeah.
No one can claim Michael as their own. Mm. Matt and Kate and Sue, obviously. Mm. The extended Mushroom family, all of us here at Triple M. But he's touched so many people, including those artists you talked about. Dave Grohl, you know, close to Michael. Before we go, last story was backstage at the Oxford Arts Factory in Sydney. And Chevy Metal, who was Taylor Hawkins' band, had played. And Dave Grohl had got up and sung. And well, backstage, and Dave's chugging beers and changing his shirt, and Michael walks back and goes, guys, that was great. That was amazing. Taylor, great to see you, mate. The drumming's fantastic. Chevy Metal are huge. Go. Got to tell you about this band called the Rubens, guys. You're going to love them. the tour's going to be huge. Dave, excellent. Voice is fantastic. All right, guys, I'm going to go, and I'll see you later. And he walked out the door, and Grohl goes, I fucking love that man. I got no idea what the fuck he just said. I fucking love that guy.
Yeah, so true.
God, yeah. I don't know what he said.
No.
Even Springsteen just said yesterday, you know, he'd speak so quickly, I needed an interpreter to work out what he'd said.
I know, he was an in and out guy. That
and he's just stream of consciousness. Of yeah, he was beautiful, and he's missed by so many of us.
Good on you, Fitz. Beautifully said, mate. Keep punching, and I'm sure that whilst no one will ever replace Michael, that the music industry will be as healthy as it is at the moment, and hopefully will continue to be going forward.
Well, it's up to everyone that supports Australian music to support Michael's legacy and go and see him band, go and buy a record or a CD or a cassette, whatever the kids are buying these days.
I mean, come and see my show if you've got nothing. Seemed like an appropriate time to do a ticket plug.
There you go.
MartySheargold.com. Obviously, I'm mucking around having a bit of fun. Good on you, Fitz.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.